We do have Adam Schefter on the line right now. Adam, how you doing? You're with Priest in St. Peter.
Hello, Priest in who else?
St. Peter.
St. Peter. I love being with Priest in St. Peter. Thank you.
Wiz does send his apologies out. He wanted to be here. He really wanted to help interview you, but he's a little busy at work. Wanted to get started off on this one. You just gave us some great information there, but the NFL is offering to indemnify the NFLPA legally. What exactly does that mean?
Well, essentially what it means is they're offering protection that if it goes to Washington, that they're not going to use that against them because they've decertified. Basically, the bottom line to this is the NFLPA is not going to go back to Washington in front of federal mediator George Cone. Now, maybe George Cone could be summoned to Minnesota, but that would have to be by Judge Susan Richard Nelson. And so the bottom line to all this, it goes back and forth, and it loses everybody because it's so heavy and so technical and so legal, and it puts everybody to sleep, frankly. But the bottom line is the NFLPA wants to have basically somebody oversee the case in Minnesota under Judge Nelson's jurisdiction. And that's important to them right now. But basically, they're looking for somebody that would supervise the settlement discussion, the court-supervised settlement discussion. And the NFL doesn't want to be in Minnesota. They want it to be back in Washington, where the mediator does not have powers that are as binding as the ones of the people in Minnesota. And so they're jockeying for position about what would be best for each side in the future. But what's interesting is this afternoon, the Eller class, which is part of the lawsuit here, you got Brady versus the NFL, then you have Carl Eller suing the NFL. The Eller class has recommended that Kenneth Feinberg, and that might be a name that some people recognize because he's been in the news over time. Kenneth Feinberg was the U.S. government special master for the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. They've recommended him as the mediator. That doesn't mean the judge would choose him. Doesn't mean he'd be the mediator, but it's an interesting choice. It's somebody that's been very influential and very powerful and very productive. So we'll see what happens.
What are your thoughts on this? Who's going where? When is it going to end? Are we going to have a season this year?
Don't know. My thoughts are, right now, the owners and the players are messing this up. And I saw the NFL attorney, David Boies, yesterday come out and say, hey, everybody relax. We're in the first quarter. But you know what? Maybe the lawyers are in the first quarter and the legal process is in the first quarter. But the fans and the people that want the offseason to begin are in the fourth quarter. And we've seen enough of this game. We want it to end. And we want free agency. We want trades. We want players on the field. And unfortunately, that's not where it's at right now.
No, you're so true on that. And it definitely would help. It would benefit this show alone if we could get past the CBA and start talking about free agency and everything else. Because it's, you know, that's all we're talking about is the CBA. And we're getting pretty sick and tired of it. I know that.
But that's exactly right.
Hey, Adam, since this stuff came down today, though, isn't this a positive sign? Now that they're actually, you know, trying to figure out who they want to use as a mediator, isn't this a positive sign that, you know, maybe good things are yet to come and it doesn't look like we might be dealing with this long appeals process and court and all that stuff? Was yesterday a major wake-up call for the NFL and the NFLPA as a whole?
No, I think both sides know exactly what they're dealing with right now. Maybe yesterday was a little bit of a wake-up call to the owners that the judge seemed to side more with the players. At least that seemed to be the indication. It's very difficult to read a judge's mind and know what she's thinking until there's an actual ruling. But there were little hints that she might be willing to side with the players, and perhaps that alarmed the owners, and perhaps that helped contribute to them sending out the letter that they did today. But it's a situation where basically this thing has been going on, it's going to continue to keep going on, and the legal process, unfortunately, has to play itself out.
Man, you are the man, Adam. Plain and simple, you are the man. Let's get into a little bit about you. Now, we've done this before with you. I just want to get a little bit more about you. You stated that your favorite player is anyone that is nice to you. Now, who is not nice to you, and why?
Oh, who's not nice to me? People who are not nice to me, I wouldn't even know because they probably just don't even deal with me. So, that's really the truth. And I don't, Priest, we spoke when I was in training camp on bus tours, and I'm getting to deal with a lot of different players at that point. But, the rest of the year, I'm in ESPN. I'm in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm on the phone the whole time. So I don't have that much interaction. I mean, I only go to one game a year. For 20 years, you know, I went to games every single week. And I did that from the time I was, what, 22 years old till I was 42. Went to games all the time. And now that's just not what my job entails. My job entails being in a studio. So I don't have as much face-to-face interaction with players and coaches as I did in the past. So now you just use the phone and emails and texting and all those types of forms of communication to get your message. So I don't know. Whoever's not nice to me, they just probably say forget him and they don't deal with me, and that's fine.
Great way to put it. I loved how you did that. Now, since you've been with ESPN, have you gained more access to players at all?
I don't know about that. I mean, I've never thought about it like that. I really just think about going out and doing my job and access. There's not much I need, you know. In terms of interview, I don't need to do. My job is not to be like Rachel Nichols, Jeremy Shepp, and sit down and do these long interviews with players. It's just not what I do. I'm happy to see some of these guys some of the times and the occasions that I do, but that's not what the nature of my job is. My job is finding out little bits of information and just going from there.
Right. Well, hey, I got to ask you, based on those little bits of information, what goes into the research as far as determining if something is a rumor or fact? Do you really have to do a lot of legwork in that situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, we're not in the business of reporting rumors, and I try never to do that, and inevitably, you're going to speculate sometimes. That happens. You know, where do you think the Eagles might trade Kevin Cobb? I get it. You know, what would happen with Carson Palmer? But to me, I'd rather say the Eagles are listening to offers for Kevin Cobb. Cut and dried, factual, concrete. There it is. Carson Palmer is determined never to play in Cincinnati again. That's not subjective. That's a fact. The Bengals, Mike Brown, insists he's never going to trade Carson Palmer. Okay, that's what he says. That's a fact. But whether he actually does or not, we'll see. My guess is he's not willing to trade him. My guess is Carson Palmer's not willing to play for him. And my guess is that standoff goes on for an awful long time.
Wow, great take on that. Hey, I got to ask you, we know you do all the real busy work during the preseason. It sounds like that's probably your busy time for you. How hard is it to adjust and have a home life schedule during that heavy preseason time when you're visiting all the camps and stuff? Like you stated, during the regular season, it's not so bad. You're in the studio a lot. But is it hard to please Mama and Mrs. Schefter, you know, during that time when you're doing that busy camp schedule? And do you have to really adjust it to make sure you have the home time?
It's like any job. I mean, there are jobs that call for people to travel and be away from home sometimes, and there are jobs that don't do that. And there are jobs where you just accept that there are going to be times when you're going to be away and some other times when you don't. And it's no different from my job. It's no different than being a salesman or a flight attendant or whatever it may be. Sometimes I'm away, and that's part of the job, and sometimes I'm not. And when I'm not, that means I get to try to spend time with the family.
Excellent. One more for you real quick, Adam, and then I'll turn it back over to Priest. The changes in the kickoff rules and the emphasis on the concussion rule this past season, do you get a feeling that the league is trying to show that the injury numbers are going down so that they can approve an 18-game schedule in the future?
No, I think the league is trying to do everything that it can publicly to make the game as safe as possible. I think over the last few years, we've seen a shift in the culture. We've seen a change in thinking. We've seen people taking concussions far more seriously. We've seen the league attempt to crack down on players launching themselves, those types of issues. And so it's a situation where, to me, they want to try to do everything they can to make a game that is not safe a little safer.
Does that have a possibility of hurting the game?
So far, it hasn't. I mean, so far, the ratings are up every single year. And to me, you know, the lockout, the lack of progress in CBA talks, the chance that maybe football for the coming season in one way or another could be jeopardized, that has a chance to damage the game, I think, more than some of the rules.
Now, Adam, I want to touch a little bit more on you. Your thoughts on the Wunderlich test, considering you stated that you would have failed it, getting a score of about 4.
No, I don't know that I got a 4. I would have got about a 6. You know, I would have been happy if my Wonderlic was bigger than my shoe size, to be quite honest. That would have been a good thing. It's, you know, a situation where, the players take the Wonderlics, and it's just one more piece of the puzzle for teams as they try to put together a full puzzle, and have as much information as they can on players. But, you know, just because somebody scores through the roof doesn't mean you automatically take them, and just because somebody bottoms out doesn't mean you avoid them. It's just, like I said, just a couple more pieces to the puzzle.
That's a great way of stating it. Now, I know personally that you're fan-friendly, since I've had the opportunity to meet you up there at the Browns camp. But one of our listeners thought that you were not, and I'm not going to speculate any names or what you said out there.
Yeah.
How approachable are you?
I mean, Priest, I can't say anything that's going to put into words, you know, talk about how approachable I am or not. You met me, you tell me. I mean, you tell me how approachable I am. Not fair for me to say that. You tell me. You were the one that met me. You're the one that's tweeted me. You tell me.
You're very approachable. I couldn't believe that an icon as yourself would even come up to me and shake my hand and introduce yourself.
Amazing. Did you just call me an icon? How come you didn't call me an entertainer and an icon?
I'm sorry, you're an entertainer and an icon.
Kidding around.
I thought the icon would be good enough.
No, I just want to be like Cam Newton and be the entertainer and icon, that's all.
Oh, so are you going to put the fake smile out there too?
Yeah, no. All good. You know, we talk about approachable. It's up to people to judge whether or not I'm approachable. And you know, there are times when you're out and about, and you know, it's a relaxed setting. There are times when you're not. Different occasions, different times, different environments. The one thing I always try to be is I just try to do the right thing always. Personally, professionally, and you just hope that the people see that and they recognize that and they understand that, and maybe sometimes it just can't be done. You can't stop to have an in-depth conversation with somebody, but I don't know why I would be unapproachable. I don't understand that.
Well, as far as I was concerned, when I met you, you were very approachable. You sat there and you talked to me for a few minutes. We would have been able to get a picture if I would have thought about it in time, but, of course, that escaped me, and you were already on the bus leaving. So you were very approachable. You're very fan-friendly. You've given us more than enough time coming back on here for a second interview. It's great to have you on here. Want to get you on here as much as we possibly can. I mean, you are the man with all the information. One last question for you. Pizza and sushi? Really? Your favorite?
Oh, yeah. Well, where are you getting all this? Priest always digs up these personal details of my life. I'm expecting to tell me when I got my first tetanus shot and, you know, when I was, you know, when I had the chicken pox and everything like that. But, you know, those are definitely my two favorite foods, pizza and sushi. If I had pizza and sushi every night, I you could alternate them every night, and I would die a very happy man.
There you go.
I got to ask you real quick. Your time going back to Denver. Was Denver your team growing up? Were you a Denver Bronco fan? By all that, who was your favorite player growing up, and who is your favorite player now?
Well, growing up, I actually grew up in New York, and I grew up as a New York Jets fan back in the day. And I was fascinated by Joe Namath, and then I loved Freeman McNeil. And then as you get into this business, you truly, and I know people, they'll ask you, who's your favorite team? You really don't root for team. You really don't. In fact, the biggest downside of the job is that you lose that passion of cheering, where you feel so high when your team wins a game on a Sunday and so defeated and crushed and devastated when your team doesn't. You know, the highs and lows that come along with following your favorite team and rejoicing as they win and suffering when they lose. I don't get that. I really don't. It's just something that you become immune to over time when you're in the business for a while. And I've been covering these teams since the late 80s. I started working for my student newspaper in college in 85, 1985, so 15, 26 years as a reporter. And it's a case where I wish I could be a fan again. I'm just not. It's just not what I am. And so I don't have a favorite player. I have favorite people that I deal with. Mm-hmm. I love dealing with Larry Fitzgerald. I love dealing with Matthew Hasselbeck. I love dealing with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. I love dealing with Peyton Manning. I mean, there are a lot of players. Maurice Jones-Drew has been incredibly nice. A lot of players that you've encountered over time that you're fond of because they're good people. But I don't have favorite players, per se.
You know, you bring that up, and you know when we started this, it was just a couple of months before we had you on, or maybe just a couple of weeks before we had you on our show. And I think we're getting better at it. But when you do say that, I noticed that too, that by the end of the season, being a Dolphin fan, it just wasn't as important as covering all the news. When you're covering everybody, at some point, you tend to become a fan of the entire league as a whole and all the players. And you know, doing this show, I've learned that too. And yeah, it does take away from the passion a little bit, but it's still not a job. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you too. Do you feel like your work is a job, or is it just something that you enjoy day in and day out?
First of all, I can't imagine doing any other job. I love my job so much. So from that standpoint, I really don't consider it a job. I'm so appreciative and thankful to have the job that I do and love it so much. It's not work. It's not work. Is it my job? I guess it is my job. My job is, you know, is getting up early, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, so I could go get a run in, so I could be home for my family, so I get all my family and workout time in, so I could be ready for the 9 a.m. Sports Center on ESPN. That's my job. But being on the phone all day, calling around about the draft, speaking to the people that you know, like, and respect in the business, doing live hits, trying to come up with information that you find interesting and notable and fresh, that to me is not where. That's great. I love doing that. I'm very fortunate and thankful for that.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, Adam, in watching you do your job, you can tell. You can tell that you really enjoy it. And, at some point, I think some of the other guys that do your job do take it as a job and don't, it doesn't show the enjoyment as much when they're doing their story as much as you do. And, Adam, I just, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Priest now. I just want to thank you for another, 15, 20 minutes of your time. And, hopefully we can get you back on in this preseason if we have one and everything goes smoothly. Adam, I just want to thank you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Priest. You're the man, though.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that from St. Peter. That's very kind of you.
Hey, Adam, I will find out about that tetanus shot and the chicken pox next time we got you on.
you got it. I'm sure that you will. I would expect nothing less. Believe me, Priest.
Hey, you tell your buddy Merle Hodge that to get back to me. He said he was going to come on. No. Hey, Adam, it's been a pleasure having you on here again. And please do come back in. You gave us 20, 25 minutes of your time here. It's very thankful. We do appreciate it so much when you come on this show.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
You got it. Take care.
Thanks, Adam. Have a great day.
Adam.
Take care.
Adam Schefter, what a great guy. Yes, he is very fan-friendly, very approachable. The guy is the best there is out there, and yes, he is an icon. Whether he wants to admit it or not, he is an icon.
Yeah, and not just an icon. The guy is a true class act. The first time he come on our show, Priest, and I'm just going to kind of give an overview real quick, but the first time he come on our show, he thought we were media. And he actually, tweeted or texted you or something like that to say that he thought we were really good, and he didn't realize we were media until after you told him. And what is really cool about the approachable thing is he knew we weren't media, and he came on again, Priest. That tells you right there the approachability of Adam Schefter, and him just being a great guy. We are absolutely, as far as the media standpoint and everything, we are nobody compared to Adam Schefter and stuff. And for him to give us his time, that just shows you how approachable of a guy he is, and just a phenomenal guest to have on here.
Very phenomenal, and I do hope we get him back on again. We will keep in touch with him, and obviously keep following his Twitter account, Adam Schefter.